Pastor Kenny's not here. That means it's my turn. He has left. He went to see his family down in the States, and he's going to be actually back this coming up Tuesday or Wednesday. For those of you that have been coming the past couple of weeks, we know that we're speaking about Joshua, and we're speaking from the book of Joshua, talking about stepping into our destiny and into our future and crossing the Jordan. And today, I would like to share something else that sort of ties together with this. I'm going to let Pastor Ken continue on that probably next. We have two more weeks of that, I'm pretty sure. But I'm not going to be, I don't have any fancy fill-ins and notes. But I just want to share something out of my heart that I believe God has put on my heart and that I've been sort of pondering and praying about lately as well. But I think it will help you as well as you move forward in a walk with God. I'm just going to read from Joshua. I know Pastor Ken has read it many times, but I'll just read a few verses. Joshua chapter 1. And for those of you that are taking notes, the title of this sermon would be The Power of Vision. And the power of our words and how that can impact our life tremendously. Let's just focus on a few verses from Joshua 1, and then there's maybe two verses that I'll read in the very end of the chapter. But let's just go through this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and be of a good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or hand, to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." And on and on. And I'm just gonna read the last two verses of this chapter. Three verses. "So they answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you command us, we will do.'" Verse 16. "We will be with you. And all the Lord God will be with you, as he was with Moses." Sorry, let's do that one more time. 16, 17, and 18. "So they answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you command us, we will do. And whatever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we'll heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against you command, and does not heed your words, in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." Well, why did I read this? I just had to read it because there's a couple of things that are very simple that maybe we overlooked, but I think are very powerful, powerful truths that I like to point out. Many of you know that our words matter. The Bible talks about words always, and Bible always speaks of that life and death are in the power of the words. And perfect words will build perfect people. Whether the words come from us or from God or from people, they will always bring something. It will bring either destruction or success. And if we learn how to change our words, we're most definitely going to learn how to change our world. And this is the book of Joshua is this book of transition. It's Israel passing from this one place to another, where they cross the Jordan. And as we as Christians, we are As we are going through this journey of called life, we're doing the same. We're passing from our old life, we're passing the Jordan, and we're stepping into a new life and a new destiny and our new eternity that God has in store for us. So this would lead us into our first point that is very simple, but it does make sense. And this is it. God casts a vision for our life. You see, maybe you didn't know this, but God has a vision for your life. And not only that He has a vision for your life, but His vision for your life is good. And as we talked about this in the past couple of weeks, it is His vision for our life is to cross the Jordan and to step into our destiny. We saw Joshua and his example, but here's a simple truth that I have discovered by reading this. You see, if God didn't cast a vision upon Joshua, I'm pretty sure Joshua would have never stepped forward and crossed over Jordan. If God had not spoken words into his life, even though he knows he was Moses' assistant and Moses was, you know, Israel moving with the Lord and all the miracles that were happening, I still think that Moses would not have made a move if God did not speak into his life about how courageous he can be, about God, how he's going to be with him, and how he's going to cross the Jordan. Now, I believe it's the same with us. We need God to speak into our life, and we need God to help us to cross the Jordan. As if we were living back in Joshua's time, and we're wandering in the wilderness, and we get in this mode of survival. We're just trying to survive, and you know, but God is moving. God is doing something new in our lives, and God wants us to step into something new. He wants us to be sensitive to His Holy Spirit, and He wants us to change our ways and to step into our destiny, to step into our success that He has for us. And as we clearly see here, Joshua was different. He wasn't like Moses. He had a totally different perspective, vision from God. And he had a different spirit. He knew that he could actually go and step into the land and actually conquer it. He knew that he didn't care about the giants. He didn't care about anything. Why? Because God told him, "Be strong and be courageous. I will be with you." So he knew that God's promise, God's vision for his life will fulfill. Therefore, he wasn't afraid. And the reason why I read the few verses towards the end is that I'd like you to see the connection with the people that he had been leading. You see, the people that he had been leading had clearly understood that God's vision was upon Joshua, and they automatically just followed along. They weren't hesitating. They just said, "You know what? We believe that this is the vision from God, and we're going to do it." But now, as God has given a new inheritance to Joshua, He wants to give new inheritance to us. Now, let's talk a bit about the vision. A very popular word in this world, especially in the business and just whole trade. And they're saying that if you have no vision, your company, whatever you're doing in life, will not prosper. It just will not happen. You see, this is what vision is. Vision is a mental picture of what you would want your different areas of life, arenas of your life, to look like. So it's a mental picture. It's an internal photograph of the future that will mold our present. Now, if you can just picture something, or maybe you've taken pictures in your life, I'm sure you have, with the cameras, and there, it's a picture of a moment that you have had in the past. Now, if you were going to transition into the future and say, well, what is vision? Well, vision is if you're taking a picture in the future, of the future, and you have this mental picture in your head, and you're trying to picture your future. How would it look like if it was like this? And God's vision for our life of the future, God's picture for us, is perfect. And our life will only make sense if we fulfill God's vision for our life. And what vision does, it moves us into this fresh future, and it gives us this clear path to go. And it releases a creativity in us to see what's unseen, to go after those things that they're not there yet. And as the Bible clearly states, without a vision, the people will perish. And in a Hebrew, a vision means a dream, a revelation, a prophecy, to foresee, to perceive, a mental picture of the future. You see, when you get a vision, everything on the outside will have to comply with the inside of what you have seen inside. And this revelation molds our present and transforms our future. Basically, vision is a dream that comes true. We hear that all the time. Well, you know, when something comes true, when the dream comes true. So we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're not afraid. And we are, God is drawing us from the unseen, from the seen into the unseen. And now from this vision, now that we know what sort of vision is, I'd like to transition into talking about the vision casting and what vision is. What vision casting does, and just a simple definition of vision casting is it's a way to give direction and meaning. That's simply what it is. That's exactly what God did. He simply just came to Joshua and he just gave him direction and meaning. He cast a vision upon his life that he was about to follow, and this will lead us into the second point that I think I'll spend most of my time here talking about, the power of vision and the power of words. But this is the point number two. We cast our vision on people's lives. We cast vision on people's lives all the time. What do I mean by this? Well, this is what I mean. Most of the vision casting that happens in our life that we do will have very little to do with what could be or should be as it relates to ourselves in our life. The majority of the visions that we cast will be centered among other people and their futures. So let me explain. We are all sitting in this room. We're all vision casters. And we all cast a vision. We all do this constantly. And with people all the time. And chances are, as you were driving maybe this morning to the church, or maybe just yesterday or whenever, chances are that you... Non-intentionally, or maybe not even life-changing, you cast a vision on someone else's life, maybe on your spouse or your child or someone else. But maybe it wasn't life-changing, but you made a comment to someone about something or what could be or what should be in their life. And it may have been positive, like something like, well, honey, you made a great coffee this morning. You're such a good coffee maker. Or maybe negative. Or maybe, you know, I don't think we should be having lunch at home today. Maybe we should just go out. Well, it doesn't have to be negative, but it could refer to, let's just, your cooking is not as good. So maybe we should just dine out. Or maybe you were affirming and you were saying, well, honey, something else, you know, whatever you're doing, you can do anything that you want. Or maybe we were discouraging. We can say, we would have said You'll probably struggle with this, and you probably will never overcome this problem, and this and that. And these are the things that we say to each other, but we don't really think about them, do we? You see, it's comments such as these that we make that shape someone's life, that shape their picture of their future. Remember when I mentioned what vision is? Vision is a mental picture. So what we can do as people, we can shape this picture and we can mold it into someone else's life. It's our words that point people in direction. And what our words do, our words plant these mental seeds into people's minds. And most, as I already said, most of the vision casting we do in our life refers to other people. But our words can make or break people's self-image. So in a way, as I said, we're all vision casters. We all cast visions. But now the question is, what do we say to each other? You see, every relationship that we have in this world, whether it's a close relationship or every relationship that we create, that we will create in the future, is a potential vision casting opportunity for us. Obviously, it's the position that we hold in people's lives that will determine the weight of our words, and maybe that's our potential to shape their future. But encouragement from my wife means so much more than anybody else because of the position that she holds in my life. And I know that you have someone in your life that you know if you say something to them, that they will really take it seriously. And it is the same thing with my sons. I know that they will need, as they're growing up, they will need my words, my encouragement to just be successful in this life, to be successful in a walk with God. You see, all of us have been impacted by the visions of people unintentionally or intentionally that they have cast for us. And you can probably recall a couple of events in your life, maybe when you were younger or as you were growing up, or maybe just recently somebody said something and that sort of has shaped your way of thinking or your way of walking. But if we just understand this simple concept of the weight of our words and what we can do, is it will help us to grasp a potential, not only as just regular people, but as vision casters in the lives of those around us. And just as people's words have set a course for our life personally and for your life, so you too have the potential with your words to set or alter the course of another life. Just a simple example. When I was growing up, I was playing soccer a lot because that's really popular in Europe. And we play soccer all the time, and I was always watching the games and really into it. And I really thought one day I'm going to become a professional soccer star. You know, that's everybody's kid's dream back home. But I remember when I was even going to trainings and all this stuff. But I remember once when our coach made a comment, and he said, David, I don't think you're good, but I don't think this is your thing for your future. And those words, I mean, even though I kept on playing the soccer, and most of those kids don't make it professionally. I mean, there's maybe like 1 or 2% that actually make it. And I'm pretty sure that those 1 or 2% that make it, they don't make it because they're too talented. I mean, they are talented, of course, but mostly they make it because of the coach positively encouraging them with their words to keep on moving and keep on being successful. My point is, I still remember those words, and here I am today thinking of them and just the power of his words. They were just simple. Well, I don't think this is really a thing for you to do, but it's not. It simply is not. I could have maybe pursued it. I could have maybe become something like that, but definitely wasn't a vision for my life. Now, such is the power of words. and such is the power of vision casting. My coach at that time didn't know, but he was actually casting a vision upon my life, saying, that's not your thing. And Jesus himself certainly understood this concept. And if you remember a guy from the Bible, New Testament, his name was Peter. But we can just, if we just go back a bit, his name was actually not Peter. His name was Simon Johnson. You can actually look it up. And that was his real name. So, in seeming total disregard for Simon's parents' choice of a name, Jesus decided to call Simon Johnson Peter. What was that all about? Jesus just decides to call him Peter. Well, you'll be Peter. You'll be John. Or you'll be Abraham, and Abraham, or you won't be Paul. You'll be Paul. Like, what's up with that? Now, let me tell you what's up with that. This is what's up. Jesus was casting a vision upon Peter's life. See, Jesus had a vision of what Peter could become. Even though Peter was all the way, even up until the cross, he wasn't really acting as a disciple, was he? He was saying that he was a disciple, but he wasn't really acting like one. You see, Jesus saw in Peter the potential for greatness. So he gave him a name that reflected his potential. What does the name Peter mean? If you look it up, it means the rock. Peter the rock. So from that day on, when Jesus called him a different name, Peter carried a constant reminder of what Jesus saw in him and what he could be and what he should be. And in Peter's case, what one day he would be, what he would become later. And sometimes later, Jesus turned to Peter and he sort of filled in the blanks. We can read in Matthew 16, 18, 19. This is what he said. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You see, no doubt that Peter's mind was racing back and forth, just thinking about Jesus' words at the first encounter with Jesus, for the whole time. And it wasn't just a name change. I want you to realize this. That wasn't just a simple name change. It was a vision. Jesus was casting a vision upon Peter's life. And in some yet to be revealed way, Peter would serve as a foundation for something important, something in the future that was going to happen. You see, at that time, Peter probably couldn't comprehend the significance of Christ's words. And he probably couldn't understand what he really meant. But I'm pretty sure that Jesus walked away after that first encounter with Jesus, that Jesus walked away with the greater, Peter walked away with a greater sense of destiny and future. And he knew that there was something there in that name change. But it was clear that God had something special in mind for Peter. And if Peter knew his Old Testament, he would know that he wasn't the only one to get his name changed. If you look at it, we can just go from the beginning. There's Abraham. He was not always Abraham. Sarah wasn't always Sarah either, his wife. As you remember, if you remember when God established the covenant with Abraham, he simply just changed his name to signify the certainty of the future, of his future. And in Genesis 17:1-5, this is what we read. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I'm Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him and said, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And this is what the name meaning is, an exalted father, a father of many nations. And Sarah's name, which happened just afterwards, Sarah's meaning was princess, which means, of course, you can only be princess if you give birth to royal kids, right? So it all had to do with the vision that God was casting upon their life of their future. So God renamed them, but wanting to point them in a specific direction in their lives. And their names were a reflection of what could be and what would be. And in a very similar way, our words have power to point people in a certain direction. And our words have power to set someone's life course. Our words have power to shape someone's future. And this is especially true for those who look to us for leadership. But as I was growing up, I knew that always my dad always had a great vision for myself. He always used to tell me when I was a kid, he always used to tell me, David, you're gonna be, God is gonna use you, and you're gonna do great for the kingdom of God. And that always has stuck with me, and it still stuck with me because it came from my father. But it was also a process of him putting a vision upon my life, what God's vision upon my life as well. So a carefully planted vision is like a seed. It grows to take on a life and a shape of its own. And long after the sower is gone, the seed will continue to grow, just like it did in my case. What vision does, vision draws us in. It captures our imagination. And at the same time, not only that it captures our imagination, it has a potential to capture and engage our hearts. So, just a little word to mom and dads here. Or maybe you're not mom and dad. Maybe you have a brother or sister, or you have a... it doesn't matter. But just a little words for mom and dads. You see, it is the words. We as parents and as brothers and sisters, we have a power. We have to paint this picture, this vividly clear picture, in the minds and hearts of our children, of not only what they are, but what they could become. In their life, in their future, in their walk with God, we are the ones who are responsible to do that. We see the potential in them far better than they do. And it is our responsibility as parents to introduce our children to their potential and focus them on the possibilities of tomorrow and how their life could be. See, the most significant vision is not cast by great speakers, by motivational speakers, although sometimes they tend to encourage people. But they're really cast by beside our children, beside our loved ones, beside those that we love. And this is where the planting of the seeds process happens. And we should not ever let this world and the media plant their vision into the minds of our children and our loved ones. We should be the ones planting the vision into the lives of people around us. And this is what kind of sort of goes into the point number three that I'd like to share with you. And this is really important. This is where I'd like to end as well. Cast a vision of potential, not performance. You see, what we fail to realize often is God looks at our future. He doesn't look at our present. He looks at our future. Now, if you read the New Testament, you realize one thing, is that God has a compelling vision for each and every one of us sitting in this room and outside. God has a compelling vision for everyone. Now, through reading of the New Testament, we can clearly see that God has no problem in relating to us as we will be and not as we are. Remember, if you go through the Word of God, you'll read we're constantly referred to as saints. We're constantly referred to as being the children of God. That we're on our way of being conformed to the image of Christ. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And if you take a moment to reread the pages of a New Testament, you'll be amazed at how often we are addressed in the light of what we are in the process of becoming and what we will one day be. In 1 John 3:2, these are the words, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." And there's no doubt that Jesus shocked His audience when He told them, "You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world." They were probably like, "What? Really? What are you talking about?" I mean, he was addressing to the audience of everyone was there, and he was telling them, "You're the salt and you're the light." Jesus is always speaking in the future. He's always addressing the future, what they will become. So Jesus was fully comfortable speaking to their potential while overlooking their performance. And He spoke to what they could be and what they should be. And not only that, but He spoke to them to what they could become. So apparently Jesus was convinced that this was the best approach to bring about change in His audience. How can we change people around us? Maybe the question, maybe the most important question that we will ask. How are we going to be able to change people around? Well, we can't change them. God can change people. But what we can do, as Jesus did, we can overlook their performance and speak into their future. And we can say, "You know what? Yes, you're not right. Oh, no, yes, you're right. Or maybe, it's okay, you did it again, it's fine. But you know what? I believe that you're gonna improve, you're going to be better." You see, if we just... What would happen if we just begin speaking like this by speaking God's potential over people and their potential instead of their performance? What would happen? And we should lock in on what could be and what should be, not what is. And words have power to do this. We have, with our words, we have power to do this. And as God has given us a vision, and for all of us, God has a vision to move into our destiny and to step into our future and to be successful and to be prosperous. And not only that, but God wants to use us to be His vessels, to cast a positive vision into people, into those people that we are surrounded with, those that we love the most. That's what we as Christians are all about. That's what we should do. We should love God and love people. That's God's vision for us. No matter what we do, what we end up doing in life, it is to love God and love people. So it is the same with us. As we love God, it is our responsibility to help people with our words and the visions that we have, that we say, that we speak. It is our responsibility to do the same for them and to speak into their potential, not their practice. As Jesus did this, should we do any less? What kind of visions are we casting for the people around us? Dads, moms, brothers, sisters, kids, grandparents, husbands, and wives, and leaders. What are we speaking? What are we saying? What words come out of our mouth? And I'm just going to ask Jelaine to come on the piano before I close here. But I'd like to challenge you this morning. Maybe you've heard this before, and you probably have. But I believe that some of you need to hear this morning, that this word was, for some of you specifically, it was something that you had to be encouraged with, because this is what keeps us moving. This is what keeps us going in this life. I'd like to encourage you to, you know, this next week that's coming up, find or look for people in your life that if you say something to them, it will encourage them. It will do something in their heart. Find those people around you. Find the loved ones that you have. And each and every one, each day that comes by next week, I'd like you to just make it your mission to speak positive words into their life, to cast positive visions, to speak into their potential. Sometimes it's not easy, especially if we are really ticked off. But God is calling us as Christians to do this and to continually walk in these ways. Just as God has spoken the vision upon Joshua, as He has spoken a vision upon us and upon our life and our destiny, He wants us to do the same. He wants us to be His vessels. And let us just stand, and I'm just going to close in prayer. It's the middle, you know, you may have set your goals in the beginning of the year for what you want to accomplish in 2013. But maybe for some of you, you have to reevaluate these, go through this and see, look at the people around you. Look at those that you love the most and look, what is it that you can do to encourage them? What is it that you can do to speak positive in their life? What can you do for them? So Father God, we just ask you to remind us again of our shortcomings. Remind us, Father God, of the things that we have missed in the past. Of the words and that we have spoken into other people's lives that were not really useful. Forgive us, Father God, for all the words that we have said that had no meaning and had no purpose. Jesus Christ, I pray, Father God, that you would help us to really live out of this Christian life, live this Christian life out fully, but also, Father God, that you would use our lives to shape the future of those around us, to shape them in the direction that you want them to take, Father God. I pray that you would help us to really use our words to build a kingdom, that you would help us to use the words to encourage people, that you help us to use our words to cast the powerful, positive visions in people's lives. Forgive us whenever we have done different, and help us from this day on, Father, to really think about this carefully and to really start living this life of destiny and future and of positive words. Help us, Father God, to move together with you. And we do not want to regret this life. We do not want to, when we get older, Father God, we don't want to look bad and regret things that we have said and things that we could have improved on, things that we could have and should have. Father God, I pray that you would help us realize that right now, that this life is short and that all that we have, Father God, is in you. And all the great things that you've given us, Father God, I pray that you would help us to use that for your kingdom. All our words and our lives, Father God, and our future, it's all in your hands. And we pray, Father God, that you would encourage us more to encourage others around us. Encourage us to help those that are down. Help us to lift them up with the words of encouragement. Help us to help those that we love the most. Help us to really speak the words of life into them. Help us to be the life givers as you were. And may our lives be the light in this world and salt to this world, that we can do better. We can do better than this world. We can do better and we can be better with your help, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for all the things you've done in our lives and all the things you're going to do in the future. We bless your holy name, and we pray that you be with us as we conclude today. In your name we pray. Amen.